It is 5:33, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT, and I believe we have Congressman Andy Harris of Maryland on the line. Hello, Congressman, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great. You represent Maryland's first congressional district. When you look at that on the map, it looks like you have half of the state of Maryland.
I've got 12 counties out of 24.
Man, oh man. And I must add this disclaimer. You are my congressman. I moved from the Westminster area, where Roscoe Bartlett was my congressman, to Queen Anne's County about a year and a half ago, and I'm happy to say I voted for you, sir.
Well, thank you. I've also got a little bit north of Westminster. That's the other end of my district.
It's
a big district.
When did that happen?
Because well, as part of the redistricting, I got the northern part of Carroll County as well, all the way over to Tawnytown.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that. I knew that Van Hollen's territory extended north, and it looks like if you look at that on the redistricting map, that's a real mess.
Yeah, he got up to Westminster, and I have kind of north of there.
Wow. All right, I have lots of things to talk to you about. We're going to start with sequestration, if that's all right. The cuts are going to happen, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and the sky will not fall Friday morning. But we are going to make a down payment on the nation's debt and deficit, no question about it.
All right. And you don't see any changes coming before the deadline?
No, not at all. There is no time. And honestly, I think the president, I'm not sure he has the will. In fact, we got the word that he scheduled the meeting with the leadership in the House and the Senate for Friday. So he obviously is willing to let it take place.
Mm-hmm. Why hasn't he done anything about this? Any guess?
Well, honestly, I suspect that he really does want the defense cuts. You know, he's made no secret that he thinks that America should not be the leading nation in the free world. I think he looks at us as just another, just like another country in Europe. And I think in the end, I think he really doesn't mind huge defense cuts that will basically cripple our ability to lead the free world.
All right, so my next question has to be, what will these cuts mean to Marylanders? You mentioned at the onset that, the sun's still going to rise and the world's not going to end, but it will have some effect somewhere down the road?
Well, I think, the question is whether the president gets pragmatic about this and realizes that although he might like the idea of cutting the defense budget not even to the bone but into the bone, I think he's going to realize that the nation is not ready for that, and I think he's going to offer an alternative some alternative spending cuts by the time the end of March or April rolls around, which is really when the real cuts start to occur, because you need about 30 days to implement. You need to give 30 days notice to federal employees that layoff or furlough might occur. So I think that's what's going to happen. By the end of the month, he's going to realize that we are serious in the House about dealing with our debt and our deficit, and that he can come along and join us. And again, we're ready to work with the president in cutting our debt and our deficit, not through raising taxes, though. We've already had that argument, and, he got his tax increase 2 months ago, over $100 billion a year just from the payroll tax increase, another $60 billion a year from the increase on in income tax rates. So he's got his tax increases now. We hope we can lock arms and control some of the wasteful spending.
Mm-hmm. By the way, congratulations on your appointment to the House Appropriations Committee. I noticed that yesterday you attended your first meeting as a member.
That's right. Hopefully I can help play a role in making sure that as we draw down the federal budget, that we do it in wise ways, that we do it in ways that preserve core functions, but eliminate things like the free cell phone program or scale that back to actually requiring people to show that they're eligible.
Yeah, no kidding. Rand Paul is a regular guest on this program, and he and I have touched on some of the waste in government before. And, in fact, I had to laugh out loud yesterday when he spoke of the $5 million goldfish study. I mean, are we really spending $5 million on a study about goldfish?
Oh, yeah, when you go through the federal budget, again, there is so much. Again, that free cell phone program, the waste, fraud, and abuse is probably over $1 billion a year. And, people, our families, they're paying more at the gas pumps, they're paying more payroll tax. The last thing they want to do is have to pay a tax on their phone bill that's being wasted at the federal government level, and that's what's happening right now.
Mm-hmm. It appears Maryland will soon have tighter gun laws, whether we want them or not, and it also appears that Maryland stands to lose a couple of gun manufacturers, the largest being Beretta in Prince George's County. They employ 300 in Maryland. We're going to give up companies that employ people that pay taxes in the state of Maryland because we want tighter gun control laws that simply won't work?
Well, you know, the analogy I draw to that is the same analogy as we have with the attempts by Maryland to influence the world's climate change by passing, by building windmills off the shore that all they're going to do is just increase our electric bills in Maryland. They're hoping that we can pass gun laws in Maryland and somehow circumvent the entire Second Amendment for the entire country and control the ability of a law-abiding citizen to own a firearm anywhere in the country. But this kind of business unfriendliness does chase out, again, Beretta is a manufacturer, and they make everyone admits it's a quality gun that they make. In fact, it's the gun that the military used for years and years and years, a standard issue firearm. There are other manufacturers. I know we have a manufacturer in Cambridge who makes a military rifle. I hope that they don't read the writing on the wall at the same time and decide that they're going to move what are now going to be hundreds of jobs on the lower shore, lower and middle shore, an economically depressed area. And, you know, again, the governor just treats these industries as though they're totally expendable. And the result will be to do what Maryland has done over the past 20 years, which is to put all its eggs, its economic eggs, in the federal budget-dependent basket. That is, just leave us with industries that are completely dependent on the federal government budget, and that is a hazardous position to be in as we're running trillion-dollar deficits.
Yeah. Do you see anything on the national level getting through the House or the Senate?
On gun issues?
Yeah.
No. You know, look, everybody realizes if we really want to deal with gun violence, we have to deal with mental health issues. And these are not going to be easy solutions because, on the one hand, we need to make certain that anyone who needs access to mental health care gets it. But on the other hand, we have to make sure we don't stigmatize that. One of the largest stigma you can attach to seeking mental health is actually the loss of a constitutional right if you seek mental health treatment. Mm-hmm. And that's really what's being talked about, is that somehow people who seek mental health treatment may, in fact, be blacklisted from the lifetime purchase of a firearm. So this is it's a very difficult issue to deal with, and again, it's not going to be dealt with. It's something that would take a long time to figure out how you're going to get this right. And in the meanwhile, we're not going to do what they're doing in Maryland, which is to do a knee-jerk response and just pass measures that everybody admits will do very, very little to affect gun violence deaths in this country.
My guest is Congressman Andy Harris, representing Maryland's 1st Congressional District. A couple more things for you, if you have the time. All right, immigration reform. Where do you stand on this path to citizenship?
Well, look, I think the last thing you really should do is reward someone who's broken our law by coming here illegally with citizenship. Now, that being said, I think you do have to realize that we have the need for transient workers and temporary workers from foreign countries to help our, in my district, the agriculture industry, the seafood processing industry. We need to have temporary foreign workers, but we do not need them to stay here illegally and then to expect citizenship. And that's where I think the biggest difference we're going to see between a House and Senate position is going to be, is that the president and I think the Democrats want a rapid path to citizenship because, let's be honest, the Hispanic vote right now is a predominantly Democrat vote, and they'd love to have a whole lot more of the Hispanic voters. On the other hand, I think the Republican position, I think, is going to eventually be that, you know, we may consider allowing people who are here illegally to stay here on work visas if they're needed to help our economy. But it'd be tightly regulated. When their visas are up, they're expected to go back. And in my opinion, I don't think you provide a pathway to citizenship. That in exchange for being allowed to stay here, having done something illegal, I think the in exchange for that, what you do is you come to an agreement that you can stay here, but you cannot be a citizen.
Mm-hmm. All right, one final thing, and only because you're a doctor, I can assume you've taken an interest in Obamacare.
And, a negative interest.
Yeah, well, okay, and that's what I want to get to. I want to hear your concerns about it, and, you know, what will it mean for us when it goes into full effect in 2014?
Look, Americans, you can't pull the wool over America's eyes the way the president thought you could. The bottom line is the president said we're going to insure 20 million more people, and to some estimates 30 or 40 million more people, and, oh, by the way, it's going to cost you less, and all the costs are magically going to go down. And, oh, by the way, every family is going to spend $2,500 a year less for their policies. In fact, the president said during his State of the Union address, which was unbelievable, I guess he doesn't know the price of a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk either. He said, oh, by the way, health care costs have gone down. I will tell you, I have yet to talk to someone whose health care insurance costs have gone down. It hasn't gone down for anyone, and frequently it goes up. It's still double-digit percentage growth.
Right.
So the president has not delivered on one of the core, and he couldn't deliver on a core promise because you don't get more for less in the United States. It's just not the way it works. If you're going to deliver more care to more people, you're going to have to spend more, and the president should be honest with us. So what's going to happen is, in order to make this budget work, they are going to have to cut hundreds of billions of dollars out of Medicare expenditure. And I will tell you that I don't think our seniors are, or should they, put up with that. Because what we're going to trade is the caring for our seniors under Medicare for caring with patients, and people, some of whom have voluntarily decided not to buy health insurance. And again, the costs are going to be high. It's just not going to work. It's going to force people into products and insurance products they don't want. If they have an insurance product they like now, they are not guaranteed that they're going to be able to stay with it like the president promised. There are going to be a whole lot of broken promises. And sooner or later, America's just going to want to wash its hands of this all. But I think it might take a couple more years.
Yeah. Are you still practicing?
I still practice in Easton, on the Eastern Shore. I practice the amount that the House will let me, which is not very much by our ethics rules in the House. But I do take care of patients, and I miss it, to be honest with you. I enjoy the privilege of taking care of patients as a physician.
Yeah. It'd have to be some days when, you know, you're on Capitol, on Capitol Hill, you're going, what the hell?
That's right. What do I do? I'm here amongst this insanity. I should just be taking care of patients.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, look, I'm going to let you run. I kept you way too long. Appreciate it very much. Please come back.
Thank you very, very much. Take care now.
You too. Congressman Andy Harris, representing Maryland's 1st Congressional District. 5:45, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.